This podcast is sponsored by the valleygivesback.org.
For hundreds of years, we brought you the news. Printed the info, we gave you the clues.
All right, forget it. Like I said in all the other podcasts, we're too busy for the intro music, and we've got a guy who is doing a lot in the Valley with his organization. I want to welcome to Navel Gazing the Valley Indie podcast, Mr. David Morgan of Team Ink and Derby. Hello, David.
Hello, Eugene. Hello, thanks for having me.
So I know we were just talking before I started recording. Team is involved in so much in terms of helping people as this COVID-19 virus transmits, and as we all try to flatten the curve to help out institutions such as Griffin Health so they're not inundated with people who need hospitalization. There's just a lot going on at Team Inc. So I thought maybe the first question I'll ask is, what has your day been like today? What have you done so far today as we record this Wednesday, March 25th at 1 p.m.?
That's a great starting question. So a lot of people, you know, as you know, Team, we're an essential nonprofit. And no surprise that many are still turning to Team in very high volumes this morning and yesterday and the days ahead. As many know, Team, you know, we're not just another nonprofit. We're steeped in a deep history, going back to the war on poverty, and really being present to address not only current conditions of economically disadvantaged, vulnerable populations, but also how do we systemically work together and understand the local needs and comprehensively address them. So, you know, this morning alone, it's a lot of different conference calls, you know, having the opportunity to talk with our local, you know, Valley delegation and our mayors and first selectmen to let them know what, you know, what is still available for their residents, day in and day out, especially, within the basic necessities of life, and amidst those conference calls, as I try to give them the frontline perspective, there's just countless champion team staff and team volunteers, and also so many other community partners that are distributing diapers, distributing formulas, food, helping stock and move food from point A to point B. We have five champion food pantries that are closely partnered with Team. Still making the connections of Meals on Wheels, a lot of different modifications. You know, we don't see a lot of, you know, senior meals in congregate sites right now, obviously, with a lot of the protocols, but there are seniors in great need who still need access.
David, because I should just note for people who are listening that, yes, Team Inc. is a social service agency, the social service agency in the Naugatuck Valley. And if you just go to their website, teaminc.org, services and locations, just to get an idea, and David, of course, talked about many of them, but there's three giant subheads: children and families. They do the center-based infant toddler care and preschool, home visitation, family resource center, a diaper bank, child and adult food care program, toys for kids that we all know about, for elderly services, Meals on Wheels, congregate meals, senior meal options program, volunteer caregivers, medical transportation, and then energy assistance, housing assistance, income tax assistance, SNAP assistance. This is the go-to place for people who need help in the Naugatuck Valley. And I rudely interrupted you, but just to
Eugene, that was awesome. You've got to come work with us. That was perfect.
Well, there is. I mean, I'm stuck in my basement, and I'm also now a very bad teacher and principal. My daughter, the first grader, nicknamed me Principal Poopernickel. That's what it was, because I'm just so frustrated and easily frazzled. But I mean, it's sort of amazing to me, this literal wartime effort that's going on, and how quickly, for example, you know, COVID seemed to just all of a sudden be here, even though we knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
But it seemed like on Friday, life was one way. And by Monday, team was helping with Derby Public Schools and Ansonia, I guess, to some extent, and everybody in the valley, giving out meals to families who needed them. So, but you mentioned Meals on Wheels, though. So seniors, we know in this COVID-19, it's been told to us nonstop that that's one of the most vulnerable populations out there. How are you logistically handling getting to these seniors? And also, we know that a lot of the seniors who are helped by Meals on Wheels are alone. They might not necessarily have the support system that another family might have. So how are you, just starting with that, how are you handling that?
Sure. Great question. So a lot of seniors still wanting Meals on Wheels. Some of the protocols we're doing temperature checks every morning for each of our Meals on Wheels drivers. We're also doing porch drop to the maximum extent possible. So in other words, we'll leave the meal on the porch and then the driver will wait to visually confirm that the senior got it. And we've also doubled up on the meals. So now they're getting two meals per day delivery, which helps to reduce the need for the senior in the foot traffic. Cause to your point, Eugene, that is the vulnerable age level when you look at that age band going above 70. Here at Team, we've even discouraged any volunteers over the age of 65 during the time being. But the Meals on Wheels need is growing because a lot of seniors, completely understandable and good decision, are deciding to hunker down. Mm. We're starting to get more calls saying, hey, can you deliver me meals or help me? I really don't, being frightened to do extra trips to grocery stores and so forth.
Okay. And so, and again, I rudely interrupted because I really want this to be not Eugene asking you what I may feel is important, but what do you want to stress to the public? Like, is there any area of need that team is facing in the middle of this health crisis, the public health emergency? Or is there any particular challenge that perhaps the public could help out with? What do you want to talk about, David?
Yeah, great question. So I would say, number one, we are here. We're still here. We're operating every day, and we're available, again, to address a lot of the basic necessities of life. And number two, we're really continuing to ask for help with volunteers. And what I want to emphasize, Eugene, is that we may not necessarily have the task for a volunteer today, but as you said earlier, this landscape is changing by the hour and by the day. And so, unfortunately, sometimes we'll lose people who need to self-quarantine, self-directed, or be medically advised. And so, as each day, sometimes we lose some champion staff or volunteers. And so, for example, if we lose a Meals on Wheels driver, it's nice to know that we have a cadre of backups who can fill in to make sure that the service continues. You mentioned the public schools. We're partnered really closely, and seeing over 150 school age kids grab and go, today's lunch and tomorrow's breakfast every day at Team and a lot of these school sites, it takes a lot of people power to be able to carry out some of these things. So those are the two things. Number one, we are here because we'll get a lot of calls. And sometimes it's scary to say that because we feel like we're seeing more and more people turning to Team. And, with the sad realities, the rise, the unemployment claims, my fear is that even more are going to come for help. But number one, we are here. We have not disappeared. I know a lot of things that is a scary time. A lot of things have closed. But we are here. And number two, if anyone wants to be part of helping, you can write on our Facebook, and write on our website. There's multiple ways where you can say, hey, I want to be part of that volunteer crew. And we've got great partners who are helping us, cultivate that volunteer list so we can call on people on a moment's notice.
And I remember it was a week ago, but it feels like a lifetime ago, State Rep Kara Rochelle had circulated a Google document that people could sign up for. Is that's connected to this, right? Can people still do that?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and that's another, I'm glad you said that. Our state delegation is really amazing. You know, what Representative Rochelle did with that volunteer base. And then I even want to shine the light on our leader and State Representative Themis Clarides. You know, I had enough state legislators and mayors and first selectmen in front of team on Friday. We probably could have passed a bill. All showed up. It was amazing. They all showed up with food and supplies and saying, we want to be part of helping and the solution. And they even did a wonderful photo to demonstrate social distancing, which is great to see from our leaders. So yeah, our elected officials, you know, Mayor Loretti was there, you know, Mayor Zekin, Mayor Cassetti, again, Representative Clarides, Senator Logan, Representative McGordy, Representative Nicole Clarides Dietria, Representative Jason Perillo. I mean, there were so many, and I'm missing a few. Forgive me, but they were all there. We could have passed a Valley bill right there on Elizabeth Street in front of
that's
the team.
Good.
It was wonderful.
That is good to hear. And before we started the interview, I think maybe last night or this morning, you had sent me an email that you had circulated internally, first about some business things. And it mentions our early childhood access. Explain to me what that part of the email is, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, team has a number of child care programs, early childhood programs that serve prenatal to age 5. And so our location in Ansonia on Howard Avenue is reopening tomorrow as part of what they're calling Project 26, which is highlighting the hospitals of the state of Connecticut. And Griffin Health Services, Griffin Hospital, has tasked team to lead and convene child care supports for essential workers. And right now the priority is on hospital and healthcare workers. And we can all agree that, you know, amidst this pandemic, we are in a public health emergency. And if essential workers cannot get to work due to no child care in school age care because of the schools are all closed, a lot of child care programs shut down, it will only further exacerbate the infrastructure of the public emergency response. And so we are actually opening our doors tomorrow, and we already have 13 exclusively for Griffin Hospital workers. And then as we learn each day, and a lot of this is in communication with the governor's office, the commissioner for the Office of Early Childhood, Mr. Patrick Charmel at Griffin Health Services, the local Naugatuck Valley Health District. So we actually have 13 children. And again, it could be children from ages 1, so babies, all the way up to age 12. Okay. That team staff will be caring for, so that these emergency, you know, these hospital and healthcare workers can stay in the front line and help sick people and help save lives.
And then to skip around, I apologize. I wanted to ask you if I'm someone who loses my job over the next few weeks, which will probably happen to people, and I'm looking to reach out to team, how does one do so? How do you make that first initial contact to ask for help?
Yeah, great question. So you mentioned our website, teaminc.org, and right on the homepage in the top right, you'll see an email there. So if one's not comfortable calling, we have people to respond to your phone call, but you can also send an email sharing what your plight is and some of the help you need. And we can very quickly even do a phone call and walk you through some of the complexities and the options regarding unemployment and unemployment assistance. Okay. And then obviously the other layers of immediate needs, you know, if things are feeling stressed around, you know, food. Again, that's the other thing. We're still, you know, we just help somebody with their utilities and their, you know, and their furnace to keep the heat on 2 days ago. We helped a mother and a child who was couch surfing, and we helped her secure, you know, a safe, affordable housing unit with a security deposit yesterday. So these are things that don't go away. In fact, they can become even scarier amidst a pandemic.
And then in terms of, I should have asked this at the beginning, but do you have any idea how many people you help, how many lives team impacts in a given year?
Sure. Yeah. So in the last year alone, we helped just over 5,000 households and a total of over 11,000 people in the region.
Okay. And now I wanted to switch gears, if that's okay with you, unless there's anything else you wanted to add about team services that I haven't been asking. I don't want to skip ahead without giving you the opportunity to.
No, I think the other real critical need is food. You know, team is serving as a food hub where, because so many people are trying to help, and we're trying to keep these five food pantries open that are spread throughout the valley. So another way, if people want to help, it's contributing food. And they can see more about that on Team's website. And what we do is we shuttle it to each of the five food pantries with Champion volunteers based on as their shelves are emptying.
Okay, gotcha. And then in terms of another email you had sent me, you had shared to me a note a child had written, or at least a young person had written. Tell me about that. It was an art project. I know, you know, thank God for these teachers. You know, my kids were assigned a little art project yesterday, and it was a nice break. You know, I mean, my kids have, you know, they've said they sort of think this is the end of the world happening. It's very stressful on children. So it was so nice to see the way this child handled maybe an independent art project. So I'll shut up and tell us about it a little.
Yeah, absolutely. And she did it totally on her own initiative. So this was not part of any project. She was a 10-year-old girl, and she was a daughter of one of Team's employees. And it was very moving to, so she basically looked up Team to look at our colors of our logo. She got my name, and she wrote a little note and just said, you know, thank you very much for helping humanity, and your work and your dedication doesn't go unnoticed. And then she writes on her note. In fact, I think it's on, I know it is. It's on Team's Facebook if people want to actually see her note.
Okay.
And then she says, after looking it up and seeing Team's colors and return of Team's acts of kindness, I've made a bracelet inspired by Team's colors. And you could see that on the Facebook. It's each of the colors of Team's logo. And actually, I'm wearing it on my wrist right now. And I tell you, those are the things you really want to bottle and highlight because, you know, for better or for worse, there's such an onslaught of miscommunication and stressful and anxiety-provoking information throughout all the band waves, and you really got to bottle the good stuff and the wisdom of a 10-year-old. So we've been trying to get it out there all over the place, and the response to it has just been amazing. It's inspiring many people, including me.
And that's good to hear. And it's the community. It's community spirit. It's about you know, building a foundation that we're all literally in this together. And to that point,
that's right.
To that point, there is a new fund that was started through like three of the major league organizations in the valley, where people can contribute and help organizations, who then help people who are being impacted by what's happening in terms of the COVID-19 pandemic and the precautions we are taking to save lives. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that I think this is, if there, the most important takeaway of this podcast, in my opinion, is this. Number one, I would say valleyfoundation.org. Valleyfoundation.org, because you go to the Valley Community Foundation's website there, you will see all the information about this new fund, which is, as you said, Eugene, the COVID-19 Response and Recovery Fund. And it's four organizations: Valley Community Foundation, Valley United Way, Greater Valley Chamber of Commerce, and the Valley Council for Health and Human Services. The Valley Council for Health and Human Services includes more than 40 nonprofit organizations, that includes Team and many others, who are in the front line of meeting the complex needs of our Valley neighbors and residents. I serve as vice chair on that. We've got a champion of a leader, Sue Agamy at Axe Spooner House. She's the chair and president of that Valley Council. And so we're able to really articulate and hold the mirror up for the other three organizations, as far as as these needs are emerging, what all these different community-based organizations need. And what I learned literally just a couple hours ago, because the fund was just announced Friday. The Valley Community Foundation has already primed the pump, if you will, and put more than $20,000 in the fund already. I'm very confident and know that the Valley United Way, it's really at their core who they are. I'm sure they're going to follow what the Valley Community Foundation has done. And then between the Greater Valley Chamber and the council, we're just able to really articulate and shine the light on this fund. And some of the emergent needs, Eugene, are, you know, again, things I said earlier, most importantly, they're really specific to what's impacting people's lives that live within the valley, you know, our neighbors, our family, our friends. And so food is definitely at the top of the list. The child care for essential workers, the hospital workers, is another critical need. Other basic necessities of life, behavioral health and mental well-being. You know, we have to be very mindful. You know, we have some champions, community-based organizations out there. You know, I think of Parent-Child Resource Center, BH Care, Rape Crisis Center, and there's many others. But how do we stay connected during these very anxious and stressful times with children and families, adults and elderly from all walks of life, especially the most vulnerable? These are some of the emergent things. The Red Cross and the need for blood, it's very concerning how basically there's literally no way to get blood anymore. They keep canceling all their blood drives because of this pandemic. And so there's a lot of need for people to give blood through the Red Cross. And again, these are emergent things. So we're still unfortunately, we're very early in this. It feels like we've been in it for a long time and it's still early. And so, but this fund will help, you know, if people can give to this fund at valleyfoundation.org and you think of those four coalitions, it really can make a meaningful difference in the front line for people most impacted by it.
Yeah, and those are organizations, those four organizations. I think I said three earlier, but those four organizations pretty much touch everybody in the valley through either directly or indirectly, that they're in everything. All right, David, one last chance to let you talk about anything you wanted to bring up. So I don't feel like I dominated the conversation. Is there anything else you wanted to add before I say goodbye?
No, I think you did a phenomenal job. You were very efficient here. This was great.
Yeah, thank you. And listen, if you want any, the Valley Indie, I mean, you know, I'm posted a lot. I say we, but it's only me at this point. It used to be three people. Now it's just me. But like anything you need online, the reach is there. People are definitely reading the site and the Facebook page. So please let me be of service in some way so I can feel control in this little corner of my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have the CDC website on your front page?
Yeah. I mean, they might not be on the front page at the moment because we're getting like 15 posts a day. But for weeks, yeah, okay. I've had a resource of the CDC and all kinds of links. And then the state links and the one the Naugatuck Valley Health District put out yesterday. So, yeah, there's a lot of info there.
I think that would be real. Yeah, because, again, there's such an onslaught of conflicting signals and opinions and miscommunications, and it doesn't help the anxiety levels. And, you know, I really would stress to people, look at the CDC information, look at your local health district information. And I know it's hard, but try to tune out all the social media airwaves and opinion polls and stuff. Really stick to the science and information to stay the course and remain calm.
I agree with you 100%. And I mean, I'm a member of the media. I'm a reporter, albeit a local, hyper-local, small-time reporter. But I am not watching cable news. And I've been talking to my wife about this today.
Yes.
You know, you have to tune. You got to really choose and be disciplined, I think, about where you get your information just for everybody's mental well-being. So I agree with you there. All right, sir.
All right, excellent.
Have a great day.
Thanks,
I know you have
so
a
much.
Lot to do. Thank you.
You too, Eugene. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so that was David Morgan of Team Inc., and I am Eugene Driscoll of valleyindy.org. Thank you, Valley Gives Back, for your sponsorship. I didn't read the copy. I should read it. Or did I read it? I can't remember at this point. But Valley Gives Back is another initiative of the Valley Community Foundation. But maybe at this point, just go to the Valley Community Foundation website and donate to that new fund that has been started to help your neighbors, especially as we move forward in these uncertain times. That's a way to get some money literally in a fund, and the help will be there when people need it, and clearly they're going to need it. So talk to you soon.
For hundreds of years, we brought you the news.
Music by the Bad Slugs.
Owners, profits.